the Ozarks back on the farm.
Well, hello there, friends. Come on in and set a spell, won't you, neighbor? That lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, is ready to chat with you about this, that, and t'other. Ozark folklore and traditions, and generally speaking, to help brighten up this Saturday for you. So on a bright, sunny Saturday, good morning, May.
Good morning, Fred. It is a bright, sunny Saturday, but the wind, I don't know, it's kind of sharp. It refuses to get warm, but it will get warm. Yesterday was Friday the 13th, wasn't it? Unlucky day, but it was lucky for Jim Kendrick. Dear Jim Kendrick, I forgot all about his birthday. He had a birthday yesterday. I simply have no memory when it comes to birthdays. I sometimes think I have no memory about anything, only when it's time to eat. I never forget that. No, I never forget that. I couldn't lose a pound. No way you'd fix it either. Anyway, happy birthday to Jim Kendrick. One of the finest chaps that ever was. Bless his heart. Happy birthday, Jim, if you happen to be listening in, or your sweet wife. Well, I want to say this. Happy birthday this morning to a dear lady 100 years old. You know, I have more people 100 years old. Isn't it amazing that I wish birthdays to? It's wonderful. She's 100 years old today, and Mrs. McIlvin, M-C-I-L-V-I-N. And I don't know, or else I've forgotten her, what her first name was. She lives on Ouachita. She lives right here in the city, you know, with a daughter. I understand she has five daughters. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it's a wonderful thing to have five daughters. There will be a nice story about her in either today's or tomorrow's news leader and her picture. Lucille Morris, who writes the story, told me yesterday, said Mrs. McIlvin is pretty. You know, you don't have to be a kitten to be pretty. It's amazing how pretty some old ladies are. Mrs. Rilla Abbott here in the city, who was 106 her last birthday, impressed everyone at her party by how pretty she was in her lavender dress and her hair in just the latest fashion. Really, it's amazing. She looks about 75, 106 here just recently. I didn't get to go over there that day. I was sick. But I'll see her. So happy birthday, dear Mrs. McIlvin, and may you live 100 more. They tell us that 50 years from today, 100 years old will be as commonplace as 65 is today. Yeah. Of course, Fred, you and I won't be here to know anything about it, but why, it is with you. And just think, in George Washington's day, the average life was 35 years. The average life. Speaking about old folks, here's a cute thing from a little magazine. And this is cute. You'll like this too, Fred. It said, Mrs. Ella Craig, age one of Porter, Oklahoma, and this is the truth, has not missed Sunday school in 1,040 Sundays. She's 81, which is a perfect record for 20 years. Not missed one Sunday, then it said, sort of roasting the rest of us, I think. Doesn't she ever have company to keep her home on Sundays? Isn't she ever too tired to go? Doesn't she ever go to picnics or family reunions or weekend trips or to the mountains? Doesn't it ever rain or snow on Sunday where she lives? Has she never had her feelings hurt and pouted a few Sundays? Has she never been mad at the preacher or the Sunday school teacher? You mean she hasn't overslept one single time in 20 years? Now, that's a queer woman, that Miss Craig, isn't she? Fred, you'll have to read that to your audience. 81 years old and hasn't missed in 20 years. One Sunday. I keep quite interested in all the things my listeners send me. And believe me, I like to get their stories and their comments on things I have on my program. I mentioned one time something about the James boys, Jesse and Frank. Pardon me. I'm hoarse this morning. I seem like I've got hay fever. Jesse and Frank, the bandits of Missouri back in the war days. And a woman writes to tell me that her grandparents knew the James boys and their people and lived up there. She says her people lived up in Clay County, where the James boys came from, and that they were a very fine family. Oh, yes, my dear, I know that. History knows all about that. Their father was a doctor, and their family was of very good blood. I learned that one time when I went to Kansas City. I was to speak before the big audience at the Rock Hill Nelson Gallery, and I was going to sing Jesse James. The man says, now, don't you say a thing bad about him when you sing, because he says his descendants are here. Their father was a doctor, as I told you. It's just that those boys got started off on the wrong foot, when you like young boys do now. And they got with Cole Younger and that bunch, and believe me, they made a gang of terror for several years. You know, there's a story. It's that one time Jesse and Frank robbed a preacher of $400, a roll of bills. He was going from one, I don't know how a preacher had it, but I'll tell you directly how he had it. He was going from one country settlement to another, taking the money to a settlement that was building a church. And, you know, they had no way of sending money then except by people. And the money had been taken up and sent by this minister. Well, the minister tried to beg off, and he told the James boys his story, and that the money was only his in trust. They didn't believe it, but robbed him just the same. Then they turned him loose. They went on and stopped for dinner at a certain road place, and there, bless Pat, sitting at the dinner table was this preacher. They told him quietly that he had to return thanks, and they could tell whether he was a preacher or not. Now was their chance. If he was, they were going to give him back the money. Now, this is a true story. They say it happened right down in the edge of Arkansas. With Frank James' gun quietly in his back, he returned thanks and how. He prayed for all the heathen and all the islands of the sea and for everybody on earth. They said, that's okay, brother. And they gave him back the roll of bills. They say those James boys did that every once in a while. Now, I'm not bragging on the James boys. Good land. But Miss Craig, Dr. Virginia Craig of the city, one of our city's most noted educators, now retired, she wrote a poem about that story, and it's a dandy, believe me. I wish you could hear it, and maybe someday I can get her to let me read it on the air. Ruth Tyler at Neosho is among Ozarkian's top-flight poets, as well as a writer with a dialect style that nobody has ever equaled in her line. Nobody around here in the Ozarks. She wrote a lovely thing one time called Jesse's Wife. This was about Jesse James' wife, and I'm going to read it this morning for my poem. You'll like it because it has beauty to it. Waking in the dark, a-whimpering like a child, shivering at the night wind damp and wild, laying so afeard in our old cord bed, praying for a man with a price on his head, loving and hating him all in one breath, living in torments of bullets and death. It's hell to love a killer, and sinful, I know, but he's the boy's father, and we need him so. Up on the mountain, a mocker sings free. You know, Jesse always had the Bob White or the Mockingbird for his call, you know. His wife knew it. A timber owl hoots from the big pine tree. I hold my breath and listen to them all, and pray to God for the Bob White's call. That was Jesse's call. A whisper at the window, I answer fearful like, is that you, Jesse? Don't strike a light. My heart seems busting with a terrible pain, and then I feel his strong lips on my mouth again. Out through the timber before the break of day, long before the morning, he rides away. Across the ridges where cedars stand black, don't dare to ride on, afeard to turn back. Just like a buzzard bird wheeling through the sky, too ornery to live and too wicked to die. They call him sinful. Well, I sure don't know, but he's still my man and I want him so. Waking of a morning, my body feels old. My heart peers heavy in the dawn's dim cold. I listen to the call of a mourning dove and pray for the soul of the man I love. I claim that's a beautiful poem. It must be a terrible thing to live with a man hunted by the law. And Jesse James was the most hunted man, they say, that ever lived. Not accepting any, not even the Lindbergh baby. Lindbergh, whoever killed it, what am I trying to say? Jesse James was hunted in every country that spoke a language. And all the time, most of the time, he lived right up here at St. Joseph, Missouri, under the name of a Mr. Howard. Just as peaceful, and raised a little garden and all these things, the nicest fellow you ever saw. He appeared as peaceful as you please, but he went out at night, in the wild part of the night, and he rode wildly, maybe clear to Kentucky or Tennessee before he got back, or Nebraska, or anywhere on his robbing raids. And nobody, not even the best police and detectives they had in America, could find him. And he was shot right there in his home by his best friend, Robert Ford. What a story. Well, those stories went into our pioneer life. Well, I want to say thanks again this morning for the wonderful lot of trading stamps I got this week. And you know, when I got out here today, there was a box full of them, a little carton. Oh, I never was as pleased in my life. I'll have to tell that to him. I expect she's listening in, Eula Wyman. It's just amazing. And I've been so happy about it that I could help the association and thankful to the station that they let me put that on the air. There isn't a better man than Mr. Foster when it comes to something like that for children or anything. They want to buy this bus to ride those little mentally retarded children about because they've just got one bus in the state they claim is just out of money. It's all it can do to keep 2,300 children, and those little children don't get to ride at all, hardly. There at the institution at Marshall, Missouri, if it keeps on like this, they'll have that bus before long, don't you doubt it. Dr. Reapman said to me, how many stamps does it take to buy a bus? Well, we're getting them. Ms. Wyman says they'll have the bus if everybody does like we're doing here in the Ozarks, and she's head of the stamp gathering and publicity. I have turned every letter and every stamp over to her, and she thanks you from the bottom of her heart. Leave it to the women. They'll prove true always in a thing for a child. And the women of Arkansas have amazed me helping us like they do. A child is a child to them, and they don't care what state it lives in. But Mrs. Wyman tells me there's a lot of children there at Marshall from the Arkansas Ozarks in this northern region. There are 2,300 in all there, mostly children, but several grown-ups who have grown up there because there's no other place for them to go. They've been dumped and buried there. And so, again, I thank you so much. From all over the Ozarks, many sent their whole books of stamps. Well, I ran across such an interesting thing, and I wonder if I have time to give it. No, I haven't. My time's nearly up. I'll give it to you the next time. You know, Fred, it's about what denomination our presidents all belong to. I never run across that before. Mostly Episcopalian, because, you know, the Church of England was heavy then, and Presbyterian, because we're a lot of Scotch. And two or three Methodists and just one Baptist, Harry Truman. Well, I kind of think, though, that Harding was a Baptist. I'm going to look that up. Well, I'll be seeing you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.